Much of Southern California with poor air quality, of course, a result of the Bobcat and El Dorado fires burning in Los Angeles and San Bernardino County, as well as all the smoke we're getting from the fires to the north of us in Central and Northern California, even up into Oregon, that smoke making its way here in the jet stream to Southern California. We'll keep you updated on the latest on our local fires. There's not been substantive change in the past few hours with the Bobcat fire above Azusa and Monrovia, but throughout the course of the day, you will be hearing updates here on KPCC. With us now, Robert Harris, a director of the Los Angeles Police Protective League, the union representing LAPD officers. Mr. Harris is an officer himself. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us on Air Talk.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I appreciate it.
I want to give you a response, first of all, a chance, I should say, to respond to the tragic events of Saturday night involving your two peers with the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, my heart hurts. My heart hurts for them. My heart hurts for LA County Sheriff deputies. And then obviously the two officers who were subjected to that kind of violence and their family members. It's just a constant reminder of what it is that we are asked to do and the dangers and threats we sometimes face.
We were just talking with Melina Abdullah of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, and she was expressing her organization's disappointment that the state bill that would have allowed the decertification of problem officers was not passed out of the legislature. Your organization was opposed to it, and what were your specific critiques of it?
Yeah, I think for Melinda, I think one of the things that should be highlighted is we hear a lot of talk about there should be a dialogue when it comes to national reform. And unfortunately, what we found this year in Sacramento was national monologue. The actual author of that bill, Senator Bradford, absolutely shut us out of all conversations with that bill. We actually sent him a letter and said that in principle, law enforcement rank and file unions were in agreement with him. We wanted to see a system put in place that would ensure officers who were terminated for extreme and gross misconduct were decertified. But he absolutely refused to talk with us and absolutely refused every one of our amendments. So I think if groups are serious about moving forward with reform, then it really needs to be a dialogue and you need to allow us to sit at the table so that we can lend our expertise and our perspectives towards something that will produce real tangible results and can be collaborative.
So let's talk about those specifics. But first, let's lay out that this is a problem. And I assume you would admit to that. That we do have cases of officers who have multiple questionable incidents, and perhaps they don't rise to the level of a fireable offense or let alone a prosecution, but that they show a pattern of poor judgment making or tendency to use force in ways that were unnecessary. So in what way could those officers be appropriately flagged and removed from law enforcement in a way that they're not now?
I think that's an excellent question, and I wish that the legislators in Sacramento asked such poignant questions. The Los Angeles Police Protective League has been at the forefront of presenting ideas for reform on a national level and here in the state, and I think an excellent system is a system that we use here in Los Angeles with our LAPD officers. It's called the Teams 2 system, and it's an early warning system, and it's designed to measure an officer's uses of force, complaints, and pursuits and compare them to a peer group. And when an officer exceeds a threshold set by the system, an action item is created and it gives your immediate supervisor an opportunity to look at what happened and find out if that officer needs some additional training, if they need some mentoring, so that we're working on these things on the front end and we're not having a conversation about them on the back end. But again, these are things that we could bring forward. These are things that we could highlight that will professionalize our profession that we were never given the opportunity to do. The ACLU and Senator Bradford completely ignored all of our requests to sit down and have these conversations.
So Teams 2, which you're describing as a way of being proactive when you see any indication of an officer's judgment being questionable. But this bill by Senator Bradford is really designed to deal with things beyond that, right? When you have individuals who have, you know, again, not necessarily fireable offense, but significant failures of judgment or willingness to use force inappropriately, shouldn't there be a way that the state can avoid those officers going from department to department when they're pressured out of one, that they just go and get a job in another department?
I think there's absolutely room to have a dialogue about ensuring officers that don't have the temperament and character to not continue to be police officers or jump from one agency to an agency. The problem with Senator Bradford's bill, it was so subjective and it was so ambiguous that even attorneys couldn't really describe what would trigger an officer being sent to have their post certificate reviewed and possibly revoked. And then the corresponding issue was they stacked a board that would be making these recommendations and determinations so slanted against the police officer. There is no other certification body in this state that was similar to what Senator Bradford recommended, whether that's an attorney's board, whether that's nurses and doctors, nothing. And so we simply asked, if you want to begin to move down this road on this process, then you have to ensure that it's fair. You have to ensure that there is some due process there. And again, he absolutely refused to listen to us. We even had the governor recommend some amends that Senator Bradford rejected. So the rank and file unions in this state have been played a critical role in professionalizing our profession, and we have not been obstructionists. And all we're asking for is a dialogue, not a monologue.
So could you come up with objective criteria that the police unions would be satisfied with that would say, here are the behaviors that lead to a statewide review of certification, and is there the composition of the body that would do that review that would satisfy you?
We could absolutely come to something, and we tried to do that this year. You know, one of the problems was, and I don't know if many people in your audience understand this, California is unique in that the legislator can do what they call gut and amends bills. It's basically where one bill is gutted of all of its existing language, new language is put in its place, and it basically creates a brand new bill. And the Senator Bradford's bill was a gut and amend bill, so it was tried to rush through. And when you start talking about a process that would revoke an officer's certificate, thereby banning them from the profession that they chose, you want to make sure that you get it right. And we asked a bunch of times, please, let's sit at the table, let's look at how we can do this.
But
so
I'm asking you specifically, what is it? What can you give some examples of what the criteria would be that would kick this to the state review? And then generally, who would be doing the review if you had your way?
I think that's a good question. And I don't know if I have a perfect answer for that yet, but I know that we have already had conversations with rank and file unions throughout the state. And we feel very confident that something can be put together that is fair, that retains due process, and that really does make sure that officers who should not continue to be police officers are not. But it needs to be vetted out, and it needs to be done right if we really want to improve upon our profession.
And you understand, I'm sure, that there is a segment of the public, despite being very supportive of their local police departments, who are critical of police unions and see unions as being obstructive to reforms that they see as beneficial to the state. What do you say to those who say that what you really are ultimately advocating is something that bends over backwards to protect officers at the expense of the public?
Yeah, my response to that is that's unfortunate, because that is just simply not the case. Here in California, the rank and file union, specifically the Los Angeles Police Protective League, has taken a very proactive approach in ensuring that our profession is professionalized. There is a reason that what we do in Los Angeles has resulted in a 30-year low of officer-involved shootings. There are things that we do very well and things that we have advocated for in this state that have made this profession better. Nobody is more vested in making sure that our profession maintains the highest standards than those that wear the badge. And the Los Angeles Police Department and our officers are the most professional officers in the country. And I think we have an opportunity to be the national standard bearer when it comes to reform. We just need the opportunity to sit at the table and to have these conversations so that we can make sure we're doing something that is beneficial for all sides.
We're talking with Robert Harris, who's an LAPD officer and a director of the Los Angeles Police Protective League, which represents officers in the department. He was one of the leads in Sacramento during the legislative session for the state's police protective leagues, laying out their priorities for law enforcement. Mr. Harris, I also wanted to ask you about, where we go from here in California. Polls indicate that there is continued support that people have for law enforcement generally, with the exception of African Americans, where we see a very strong, significant majority who don't believe that African Americans are treated fairly by law enforcement. And you've also got, from the public opinion polls we see, much more support among the public for reforms in policing, more holding of officers accountable, perhaps even financial exposure in cases where officers engage in hazardous conduct. As you look at this shift in public opinion, where does your union need to go to be responsive to that?
I think one of the first places our union needs to go is we really need people to understand that some of the things that they are advocating for, we have already supported those things and they've already been put in place in the Los Angeles Police Department. When you look at having strong use of force policy that require a reverence for life, that touch on de-escalation, that have a requirement for you to intercede if you see excessive force or witness misconduct. These things are already a part of LAPD's use of force policy. And it's why I said earlier, I think that we can be the national standard bearer. I think that is the level of officer that officers at Los Angeles has. The side component to that is I really wish people understood exactly what it is the LAPPL advocates for. You know, we partnered with San Francisco and San Jose and unveiled a national reform plan where we talked about things like having a national database that tracks officers fired for gross misconduct so they can't jump to other agencies, having a national use of force standard. We've even unveiled a new campaign 2 weeks ago called Invest in Better Policing, Invest in Policing, because if we want to retain and recruit and maintain the highest quality of officers, then we need to invest in them. We need to invest in the training for better de-escalation techniques and tactics, invest in crisis intervention training. We need to begin to look at what non-emergency calls do police no longer respond to. So all of these things that are being talked about, rank and file unions are opening to have the dialogues. Unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is we are painted with a broad brush as being obstructionists and not willing to engage in these conversations. But of any profession in this country, there is no other profession that has as high of a consequence as being a police officer or requires as much evolution and improvement. And we want to be a part of that process.
Robert Harris, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Thank you, LAPD officer and director of the Los Angeles Police Protective League, representing LAPD officers. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Friday's Air Talk, we opened up the phones for listeners to talk about their favorite street or road to drive anywhere in Southern California. It was a wonderful conversation. So many more people than we had a chance to put on air. Today, we're opening up the phones for you to talk about the community where you live. You're the eyes and ears of the piece of Southern California that you call home. And I want you to describe, for better or worse, the ways that it's changed over the past 6 months of the pandemic. What businesses look like, traffic patterns, what you see from your neighbors. Have you gotten closer together or is it more difficult as you walk masked in your neighborhood to carry on conversations? The changes that your local neighborhood has experienced in the past 6 months, 866-893-KPECC. It's a chance to get your reflection. You're like a reporter for KPECC. It works so well Friday. Let's take this on right now at 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Back with you in 90 seconds.